on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Today is, what is today? September 28th.
It is.
There you go.
Saturday.
Saturday, once again. Hard to tell through the fog of the chemtrail headache I got.
Just another beautiful day in the North State.
Yeah, if you can't see those streaky lines all over the sky, I guess you're blind. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host today for Sovereign Mind Radio. And we'd like to thank our sponsors and advertisers for keeping the show on the air. If you'd like to call in, it's 530-605-4567. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. All shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. I got several quotes here, but let me see. I'll do a couple of them here. First quote, in the end, all paper money returns to its intrinsic value, worthless. Voltaire. Nations are ruined by one act of, nations are not ruined by one act of violence, but by gradual and in almost imperceivable manner by the depreciation of their circulating currency through excessive quantity. That's Nicholas Copernicus. 1525. So I guess they had a little problem back in 1525 with overspending and counterfeiting money and currency. Gold is money. Everything else is just credit. J.P. Morgan. So anyway, with that, do we have any veterans?
Oh, we do. This is the first annual Shasta County Cookoff for Missing in America Project benefit, and that's going to be out at the Shasta District Fairgrounds from 12 to 7. Admission is $10. It's going to be a barbecue kind of day, because then you can go from there and go over to the Mash Bash fundraiser for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center tonight from 5:30 to 11. And that is at the Air Shasta Rotary and Wing. That's on Flight Avenue. And they're going to have Famous Dave's Barbecue out there. So you can buy a ticket at the door for $35. So come out and have fun. Barbecue for lunch and barbecue for dinner.
Well, very good, very good. I guess that was, yeah, everybody should know by now, that was my sister Linda. She's in the studio here with me.
Good morning. We're just not quite with that.
Yeah, we're not completely on top of everything today, but that's okay. And we also have Savannah, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great gal. And, yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. let's see. We stand for limited government fiscal responsibility and following the Constitution. Oh, we should talk about the Tea Party Monday night. They're having, what are they having? I got it.
We have.
I got it right here as soon as I can pull it up. It's training for treason.
Yep.
And this is should be pretty interesting. It's not going to be taped or videoed.
No audio, no video, no nothing. You have to attend it to find out what's going on.
Not that anything shady is going on here. It's just that our guy that does all that stuff won't be there. But Holly Swanson will be our guest speaker this Monday. And she is exposing the plan to use public education as a tool to politically indoctrinate American children. America's children, preschool through university. Her newest book is entitled Training for Treason and exposes the Common Core curriculum. So that would be a good one for you guys to go see. Of course, nothing could be happening like that in the country. No training for treason. No,
communist, nothing like that.
No communist traitors in the White House. Nothing like that. Anyway, so I think we've got Charles on the phone.
I do believe. Charles, are you there?
Yes, I am. The Board of Building Appeals membership inquiry process issue is coming up this coming Tuesday at the Board of Supervisor meeting. I know this is something in which Mark has a keen interest.
Yes, that's interesting. I didn't know about it. Thanks, Charles. I appreciate the info.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
What they're saying in the staff report, and I don't have it in front of me right now, is that they've gathered all these resumes, letters, and other assorted paperwork, and they're going to basically review it, and from reading the staff report, it sounds like they're going to come out with their nominees, which are going to be whatever X out of Y. And it sounds like a very closed door violation of Brown Act process, because the selections are supposed to be done in the open, not behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Because if it's done behind closed doors, and if the nominees are only a certain select percentage of the pool, then then whatever a process does happen in open session is little more than a formality, a useless formality. The thing that I've been calling for, that all applicants be interviewed in open session, and that all selections be done in open session, and that everything be captured on the Board of Supervisor meeting video and podcast, so that everybody can see, you know, who was selected, who did what vote, and why.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Charles. I mean, it should be an open door deal. I mean, why do we have secret meetings behind closed doors to select people for a building appeals board here when we should know who they're selecting and why?
If it were any more secretive, we'd have to call it the Trans-Pacific Partnership or something.
Spy versus spy. Thanks a lot for the call, and Charles, we got a couple other things to go over, so we will talk to you soon.
Item R3, as I recall, on Tuesday's agenda, in case you're curious.
Uh-huh. Oh, R3 at the Board of Supervisors, and that's 9 o'clock in the morning.
There's something posted to the local issues task force page of the 24 Hours Patriot website, in case anybody wants to look there for more information.
Very good. Very good, Charles. Okay, we've got to let you go. We got a couple more announcements to make. Thanks, Charles. We also got the Reading City Council. We'll discuss the state of Jefferson on Tuesday, October 1st as well. And that ought to be an interesting meeting. Show up there and get your input in there. There should be a lot of people who are supporting
that. Yeah, I believe
that.
What's that at? 6 p.m.?
Yeah, 6 p.m., and that's at the City Hall. So, I guess we're getting ready for a break here. But before we go to the break, I'd like to, let everybody know that this next song is dedicated to all those people out there who believe that the economy is getting better, and they believe the mainstream garbage. And, a guy asked me once, you've been saying this for 3 or 4 years, when is the economy going to get, when is it going to collapse? And I'm thinking, how bad does it got to get before you start seeing that it is?
How much pain do you have to have?
Before you start seeing that it is collapsing.
Okay, with that, this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Ask a girl to go driving with me. See the country in my SUV. Pulled into the station, the sign was obscene. The pump was hooked up to a cash machine. I can't afford to drive my car. $50 won't get me far. Baby, you can push my car, and maybe I'll help you. Beep, beep, it ain't cheap, yeah.
So, Chris, second Tuesday next month is at the post office.
The federal government is cooking now?
No, the post office saloon in the downtown mall.
Oh, that's much better. They have great food, good drinks, good company.
Won't you please join us at the post office saloon on Tuesday, October 8th for great food, good company, and 15% of the proceeds will be donated to Haven Humane Society. It's all about friendship and helping the animals.
Cool, because I have some letters to mail.
I give up.
Well, what do you know? It's time once again for the fastest waterfowl in town to take to the river for the 24th annual Ducky Derby, Sunday, September 29th at Caldwell Park. Be there at 1 o'clock to watch the deluge of ducks splash down and race to the finish, or one lucky duck sponsor will win the grand prize houseboat trip from Holiday Harbor. It's all to support the work of Rotary Foundation Against Substance Abuse. There's still time to sponsor your racer by calling Duck Central at 225-8583 or visit ReadingDuckyDerby.com. Be there at 1 p.m. Sunday, September 29th at Caldwell Park for the 24th annual Ducky Derby.
Hey, football fans, Nate Abarea here. It's that time of the year. The helmets are strapped, the lights are on, and high school football is back on your radio. We'll be bringing you local gridiron action all season long with live game broadcasts from all around the North State. It's Friday Night Football right here on KCNR 1460, the pulse of Shasta County and Redding's new home for high school football.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar.
Join me, Paul Preston, Monday through Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon for Agenda 21 Radio, right here on KCNR 1460 AM. And visit our website at agenda21radio.com.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're back, and we have our guest here on the line. I'll introduce him. His name is Phil Kirpin. He is president of the American Commitment, a nationally syndicated columnist, a contributor to Fox News Opinion, chairman of the Internet Freedom Coalition, and author of the book Democracy Denied. American Commitment is dedicated to restoring and protecting America's commitment to free markets and individual freedom. So are you there? I also see that you worked previously as an analyst and researcher for Free Enterprise Fund, the Club for Growth, and the Cato Institute. So you've got quite a resume there, Phil. And how you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. And I like the Allman Brothers. So good bumper there.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad somebody recognized that. Very good. That's Jessica, just in case anybody wanted to know the name of it, because that was I pulled that off some clips that said 10 songs that you know but you can't remember the name of. Anyway, we're here this morning with Mr. Phil Kirpin, a free market advocate. And so, you know, I'm not sure where we're going to go or what we want to talk about, but I'll leave that up to you, Phil. Where should we go? Phil,
uh-oh.
I think we lost him.
Are you there, Phil?
I'm here. I had to pick up a different phone.
Oh.
I think the one I had, the battery died. So good thing the call didn't disconnect.
Good. Very good. I was just saying, where do you want to start, Phil? I'll leave that up to you. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, this is my main focus right now. And normally a show in California, I wouldn't talk to you about a political race in New Jersey. But I feel, you know, we're about 3 weeks out now from the U.S. Senate special election in the state of New Jersey. And I feel where we are right now is just about where we were 2 or 3 weeks before Scott Brown won in Massachusetts, and it shocked the world and changed the whole direction of the country. And if you remember, back in 2009, Christmas Eve, Harry Reid slammed through the disgusting Obamacare bill with the Louisiana Purchase and the Cornhusker kickback and every filthy, dirty backroom deal you could imagine to get it past the finish line, using the fear of senators missing Christmas with their families to kind of strong arm it through, and everyone kind of said, you know, enough's enough. We don't care that this is a state that's only elected Democrats for 40 years and is one of the most liberal states in the country. Everyone came together. Everyone from moderate Republicans to hardcore conservatives came together and got Scott Brown elected. And I think it scared the heck out of everyone in Washington. They were so determined to destroy health care that they passed the bill anyway, but they lost the House of Representatives as a result, and there was a huge political price to pay. And now, of course, they've gone ahead and funded the Obamacare law despite millions of Americans telling them not to, and I think there's a risk that people are going to become disengaged and disillusioned right now, and I think we need to do the exact opposite. We need the whole country to key in on this Senate special election in New Jersey on October 16th, which, just like Massachusetts, is a state that has not elected a Republican to the U.S. Senate in 40 years, almost the exact same period of time that Massachusetts was when Scott Brown was elected. And in Steve Lonergan, we've got a guy who, unlike Scott Brown, is a real conservative. And so this time, if the whole country comes together and puts him in, we won't all be disappointed afterwards. So that's been my main focus lately, is trying to get people locked in on that New Jersey race. And we've got a bunch of ads and other things that we're doing with that. But, you know, the other thing is there's going to be some kind of deal. They're going to pass a bill. I don't think there's going to be a government shutdown. So there's going to be some kind of deal by Tuesday. I think it's going to be a very disappointing one, unfortunately. But, you know, we're going to have to keep watching and see if we can at least get something out of it and, you know, not have them increase spending again. Because both the House and Senate bills, at least the House bill defunded Obamacare. That made it worth it. But both the House and Senate bills spend $19 billion more than the level that was agreed to in the Budget Control Act with the sequester and all that. So they've actually now broken the deal that the House and Senate and the President agreed to in the summer of 2011. They're already going to break those budget caps and spend more, which I just find completely outrageous.
You know, it's just funny. I personally think they need to shut it down, you know, if nothing else to get everybody's attention, because the real deal is down the road, we're going to have a shutdown, whether they like it or not. I mean, whether the market shuts down at some point because of the not being able to sell any of the treasuries or we have a hyperinflation, and which is a default. So, you know, currently the way the budget's going is that we're going to default one way or the other. I mean, you can default by either not paying your bills, you know, shutting down, or you can default by continuing to counterfeit currency to pay your bills, which will, you know, not default them per se, but, you know, when $50, a loaf of bread's $50, it's kind of a default. So we got a problem
here.
Well,
I mean, the interesting thing that's happening right now on the monetary policy side, you know, the Fed's continuing to purchase $85 billion of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities every single month.
Right.
We thought they were going to announce a taper. They did not. So they sort of QE forever, if you will.
Well, I predict.
Forever, it seems to be.
I predict
but,
that,
you know,
I predict that they're going
to
continue.
It's the real economy. It's in the banking system. You know,
right.
You know, they talk about how loose money policy is, and they're buying all the quantitative easing and so on. You know how hard it is to get a loan right now?
I mean,
if you don't have absolutely perfect credit, forget about it. And if you do have absolutely perfect credit, it's going to take months and months and months of paperwork and all the rest of this nonsense, because every bank's got three regulators looking over their shoulder, making sure they never make a bad loan again. And
right.
So credit is actually very, very tight for real people in the real economy right now, even though it's very, very loose on Wall Street, and we see sort of this big rally that I think is largely fake. And so there's a huge disconnect, I think, between the monetary policy that's kind of propping up the financial system, if you will, and sort of the exact opposite that's happening in the real economy, where access to credit is very, very tight. And that's one of the reasons that people continue to suffer so much in this economy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I was going to say, I predict that instead of, you know, they talked about tapering, it was a head fake. I predict that they're going to increase the QE before the end of the year or shortly after, because right now, if you pull the plug on QE, the whole economy is going to tank. You know, the stock market, you know, and the money that's going into the treasuries is keeping the interest rates down. You know, like you say, it's a fake economy. You look around out there and man, I tell you, anybody who believes that we're at 7.3% unemployment's an idiot.
Yeah, obviously, you look at the measures that can't be fudged and faked, like the labor force participation rate, and we're at, you know, at a 40-year low, basically. And you look at the male labor force participation rate, and we're other than a couple of months in 2009 when the Obama economy was really suffering, we're at the lowest male labor force participation rate really since the statistics have been kept. And so that, to me, says a lot more than what they claim about unemployment, which, of course, they mess with who's in the denominator. You got to look at the overall population, I think, to get a sense of how bad things are. And, you know, I don't know that the Fed's going to increase their asset purchases. I think I expect $85 billion to sort of continue. But yeah, we're going to have a very interesting debate on this in the U.S. Senate because, of course, Obama's got to name his new Federal Reserve Chairman. It's probably going to be Janet Yellen. That's kind of the consensus.
Right.
She's probably even worse than Bernanke in terms of this aggressive QE-type measures. She's been a big advocate for that inside the Fed.
We have
a very interesting debate in the Senate.
I think
Rand Paul in particular is really going to lead the fight against these policies and explaining, you know, what's wrong with them.
Is it even possible to be more aggressive with the monetary policy than Bernanke? I guess so.
Well, she's been whispering in his ear throughout. So I think, you know,
really?
She's sort of one of the intellectual forces that inside the Fed that's been pushing these policies, and so, you know, I think the idea of elevating her to the top job, if anything, means they're going to be, you know, even more aggressive.
Well, I'm looking at a unemployment rate chart here. This is courtesy of Shadow Stats, and you know, we got the official U-3 at, you know, 7.3, and then we've got the broadest U-6, and that's somewhere's around 14%. And then Shadow Stats says the actual unemployment is around 23%. So, you know, I mean, over 22% anyway. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Shadow Stats, but I think they're more on the beam than all these guys. But, you know, going back to the monetary policy, I don't know a lot about this Janet Yellen, but, you know, that would almost indicate that we have to, and I believe they're going to have to increase the money supply even more so than they're doing now, because it's not really even having an effect now other than propping up the stock market and keeping the interest rates low.
Well, I actually think it's having the opposite effect of what they think. They think that they've got extremely loose monetary policy, but as we were saying, you know, they actually have very tight monetary policy in the real economy, because most of the money they're created is either being left at the Fed as excess reserves, which they pay interest on, or it's staying inside the banking system. And, you know, it's actually very, very tough for people in the real economy to get access to credit right now. And so they think they have this extraordinary loose monetary policy, and, you know, in kind of the New York, Washington, Greenwich, Connecticut financial world that these people inhabit, they do. But for everyone in Main Street America, it's not having that impact at all. It's actually very tight right now. And so, you know, this idea that they're going to help the economy by, you know, being even more aggressive in these measures that are largely backfiring and having the opposite effect, I think is you know, very misguided.
I see Greece on the horizon. Do you see that too?
Well, I think, you guys are going to be the first to go there in California, probably. Maybe Illinois before you, but
well,
you
that's
know,
a, that's a, that's assuming that we don't separate from California and create our own state of Jefferson here pretty soon, you know, by hook
or
crook.
I understand that was about to happen when World War II broke out.
Absolutely, yeah. So who knows where that's going? I'm in full support of that, because we don't have a representative republic up here anymore. You know, we in California. You're right. I mean, between California and New York, who's got the worst policy, monetary, and fiscal? I'm not sure there. I think it depends on which week you check.
Yeah, well, Illinois's got the biggest pension problem, so they got to be in the mix there as well. How does that work exactly? If you want to separate from a state, do you need permission from the California legislature to apply to Congress? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's actually Article 4, Section 4. Basically, you have to get permission from your state legislatures. You know, first you got to get enough people to rise up to say, this is what we want. And it has to come from the bottom up. The people have to rise up and say, hey, we're tired of this, you know, and we want to form another state and, you know, lay out the reasons and put a plan together and call a constitutional convention. And then after you get permission from the state legislature, which could be a big stretch here, you also have to go to Congress. But there are some things that are on our side. We are at this point in time have enough people that are starting to put together at the different levels to say we want it. And it could be a good thing for the legislature in California in the fact that, you know, we're a burden up here.
More Democratic.
Yeah. Exactly.
They could run off that cliff even faster.
Yeah, so who knows? But after this, I believe after Obamacare gets imploded, we might have a turnover here down here where they don't have a supermajority. And I think Republicans are going to start, you know, or conservatives. I hate to say Republicans because that's not necessarily the deal. But conservatives, more and more conservatives are going to start getting in there, realizing what a lie that this Obamacare and this administration has perpetrated across the board, you know, and I believe you know, nobody wants to say it on the mainstream media. I believe we got treason going on up there, and I believe that he's intentionally sinking the economy.
Well, I think he's just a liberal who really believes all this crazy stuff. But, you know, regardless of the motivation, all these policies are terrible. Let me give you a suggestion, though, about this idea of splitting California.
Sure.
I think, you know, if you want to offer the liberals something that they can really sink their teeth into, you don't want to split it into two states. You want to split it into like three or four so that they can pick up some extra U.S. senators for their guys. And then they might see more self-interest.
Yeah, you got to offer them something that's going to be attractive, whatever it is. There's several ideas out there right now that are in the development stage to make it attractive so that these guys will say, hey, fine, you know, you guys go do what you're going to do. And
yeah, you want two U.S. senators, we'll pick up two more for us.
Right.
Something like that.
Exactly. So it's hard to say where that's going, but if nothing else, it's forming coalitions and it's forming, the people are starting to unite over the issues. You know, the one thing I'll say is that about President Obama is that he united everybody on the Syrian war issue. And I think that's going to start happening more and more and more. You're going to start seeing people, you know, right, left, conservative, liberal uniting, because I believe that the liberal are just delusional, you know, have been led astray and are delusional in general as to that these policies will work, you know, through lack of education. But when they don't work, they're going to turn on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right that the Syria war, and I would also say the coalition we saw on Justin Amash's amendment on the NSA, which fell just a couple votes short, but was a very bipartisan coalition, I think that shows the path for a potential realignment on a lot of issues that don't neatly fit along the old party lines. And, you know, there's a real populist movement now in this country to, you know, stop so many foreign wars, to stop having so much corrupt corporate special interest giveaways and the rest of it. And, you know, I think that's a very positive direction. I think that, you know, people like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz are really going to pick up that ball and run with it, you know, going into the next election cycle. And just to circle back to where I started, Steve Lonergan is really in that mold. And I think the national impact of someone like him being elected in a state like New Jersey would just be huge. I think that every corrupt big government politician in the country would be on notice that they're not safe anywhere. And so, you know, that's why I'm working so hard on that race.
Very good. Well, listen, we got to go to a break, Phil. We'll be right back and continue the conversation.
This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This week's guest is author Holly Swanson, a leading authority on the political agenda of the Education for Sustainability movement. Holly says its aim is to train America's kids to be against our form of government, free enterprise system, religious beliefs, and more. Common Core is a component of the sustainability movement, and you'll learn what you can do about it this week on We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Analog Living in a Digital World. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Yep. Feel like I'm stepping into the Twilight Zone, that's for sure. Let's get back here. I wanted to ask you what you thought about Ted Cruz's filibuster here the other day.
I was captivated by it. I stayed up until about 4 a.m. watching, and then I went to sleep for a few hours. I had to be up at 7 to feed the kids, so, you know, I put it back on then. But, you know, I really think what Ted Cruz and Mike Lee did was just so powerful and such an incredible statement, because they forced people to pay attention to the reality of this healthcare law that, you know, the media wants to gloss over. They want to treat every one of these major, fundamental, central problems that can't be fixed. They want to treat as a minor thing that's irrelevant. And, you know, I think they really focused people's attention in a pretty powerful way on what we're going to be facing as open enrollment starts next week, and as, you know, this law continues to move forward. And, you know, I do think they made one slight mistake yesterday, making the cloture vote the vote that they wanted everyone to focus on. I think they should have made everyone focus on the vote to waive the budget points of order, to waive the budget act in order to move forward, because that vote to me is the one that had real political significance. And 68 senators voted to waive the Senate's own budget rules in order to move forward with funding Obamacare. Now that to me, especially the 14 Republicans who did that, they've got a real political problem now, because that's very easy to explain, I think, in a TV ad. You know, so-and-so voted to waive the Senate's own budget rules in order to allow Obamacare to be funded. I think those 14 Republicans are going to be in some trouble because of that vote.
I agree. I think what they should do is I think they should come back with another amendment to the bill that says that with a sunset provision saying that going forward, if this thing doesn't work in 2 years, that it gets, basically a repealed, and or that they also put in an attach to that, that it across the board, everybody has to be on in the process. In other words, you can't exempt all these guys. You can't exempt Congress and the senators and the president from their own law. And I think if they did that and come back with that, the publicity would turn the tide on these guys, because it's getting pretty obvious who we're talking about. And, you know, just because you have an R next to your name doesn't make you an R.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a strong supporter of this amendment that David Vitter's been offering to undo this illegal exemption for Congress. And we actually have a petition on that on the front page of AmericanCommitment.org to urge your senators to allow a vote on that, because, you know, Harry Reid knows that if they had a vote on that, it would pass overwhelmingly. They can't vote against an amendment to make them follow their own law, but that's why they don't want to allow the vote to take place.
Right.
And it really does tell you everything you need to know about this law, that the people who wrote it do not want to live with it, do not want to abide by it. And, I think that if we could get that done, if we could force them to actually follow the law as written, to go into these exchanges without special subsidies and so forth, we would have a much better chance of repealing or at least reopening and significantly fixing the whole law, because the people up there who have the power to do that would have a huge incentive to do so. And so I think that effort's very, very important. And I agree with you that whatever the House sends back over in the next iteration of this has got to include that.
Yeah, we're turning into a caste system the way they got this set up. We got the king, we got the nobles, and then they got the serfs, and that'd be us. You know, we're turning into Surf City here, and then these guys, they exempt themselves from everything, special privileges. You go into Congress and into the government, and you're broke, and you come out a millionaire. I mean, it's getting to the point of absolute, stupidity that you can't see this, and the media is so complicit, it's just ridiculous.
Look, the provision in Obamacare that says members of Congress and their staff have to lose their existing coverage and go into the exchanges on the same terms as anyone else who got their employer coverage dropped is absolutely crystal clear. There is no question that that's in the law, and that was put in the law because they couldn't have passed it without that, because the American people said, if you're so sure this is a good idea, you do it to yourself too. And they said, okay, we'll put it in the law. And then they told President Obama, we don't really want to abide by that part of the law. Can you do something for us? And he issued this ridiculous, illegal rule that says that that section of the law is essentially meaningless, that they can continue getting taxpayer-funded health care the same as they always have. And so, you know, to me, it's even worse than what you said. It's not like they're passing laws that are creating this special deal for themselves. They actually passed a law that said the opposite, but then they went to their buddy President Obama and said, hey, can you just basically disregard the law and hook us up anyway? And he did.
Well, you know, he's turning into the king, and that's what's happening here. You know, I mean, how many laws does this guy break that he doesn't follow, whether it's the Constitution or whether it's his own laws that he's passing? I mean, there's so many examples of this guy, you know, committing impeachable offenses that, you know, so, you know, we've got to turn the Senate over to conservatives in this next election, or we're in real trouble. I mean, people think that this is going to end up, this is going to end real badly the way we're headed.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, I would just remind you again, the next election to U.S. Senate is not 2014. It's October 16, 2013. It's less than 3 weeks away. It's in the state of New Jersey. If people want more information on that race, the Super PAC I'm affiliated with has a website up at BookerFail, F-A-I-L, BookerFail.com. The Democrat running is a corrupt big city mayor named Cory Booker. They've got all of the information on that site about what a disaster he's been, and you can also learn more about Steve Lonigan there. But I think if we're going to turn the Senate next year, the best time to start is by winning the seat this year.
I couldn't agree more, and so we'll try to get that out to our guys in the Tea Party, and try to get involved with that, making phone calls and doing everything that we
Tell
can.
Tell them it's Scott Brown without the disappointment.
Yes.
Yeah,
Scott Brown put a bad taste in everybody's mouth, you know, because the guy turned out to be, you know, just a shill. So, you know, it's just, it's tough out there to trust anybody because, you know,
Well, I've known Steve for a long time. I was a colleague of his at Americans for Prosperity for 6 years. Steve was a mayor of a town called Bogota for 12 years. He kept taxes under the rate of inflation for the entire 12 years. He actually cut spending. It was lower 12 years later than when he started as mayor. That was in a 2-to-1 Democrat town that he did that. Then he beat Governor John Corzine's $38 billion toll hike scam. He led the statewide fight against ballot measures to do a huge bond issue for stem cell research, and also one to do a tax swap scam that would have increased the sales tax. They were the first statewide ballot questions to go down in New Jersey in 20 years, and he's the one who convinced Governor Christie to pull out of the cap and trade program that New Jersey was in. So this guy is the real deal. You know, he's also 100% pro Second Amendment. He's pro-life. You know, he's right on every issue that I care about, and probably every issue that you guys do also.
What do you think causes these guys to get up there and then, you know, like a Scott Brown, I mean, that says one thing and does another? Do you think that they're just kind of in the tank before they start, or what? I mean, anybody who's fighting Corzine isn't, you know, I'm for, because that guy's a piece of work, but.
Well, I don't know how he's avoiding criminal prosecution, probably because of who his buddies are, but the DOJ said they're not going to prosecute John Corzine, even though there's $1.2 billion missing of investor money from his company, MF Global, but he's only going to be tried in civil court.
Well, and that was investors' money. I mean, it wasn't like, those are segregated accounts, you know, and that brings up some other things to talk about. I mean, we've got a banking holiday going on in Panama that was just announced, and then we've got a worldwide banking problem. These guys, you know, they don't prosecute them because they're too big to jail is what's been told. I mean, you look across the board at HSBC's problem. You look at J.P. Morgan. I mean, they just stopped a suit that's been going on for 5 years because they said there's nothing there on market manipulation. And we know for a fact that they're dirty as it gets. So, you know, we've got to get the number one law enforcement person in the country doesn't enforce any laws. He's just like Obama. He just selective enforcement on everything.
Yeah, I have little confidence that any serious crimes will be prosecuted at the federal level as long as Eric Holder is in that position, and it's very unfortunate. But I hope that whoever the next administration is, they go back and look at a lot of these things to the extent they can, and, you know, there actually are prosecutions.
Yes, a lot of these guys need to go to jail. I mean, you look at the HSBC is one of the most egregious. I mean, they were laundering drug money for the Mexican cartels by their own admission, and funneling money and laundering money for the Muslim brother or not the Muslim, but Al Qaeda in the Middle East. So, I mean, how bad does it get? You know, I mean, which then goes back to, you know, how do those guys get a pass? You know, I mean, why, you know, if you look at the overall picture, what's been going on up in our administration in the White House, I mean, to think that these guys are not on the other side by their actions, I think, I mean, how many things do they got to do before we start realizing these guys are in the tank? With that, we got to go to a break, Phil. We'll be right back.
This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Ladies, grab your girlfriend, slide into your highest heels, pick out your flashiest handbag, and top it off with your favorite hat. On Thursday, October 10th at Riverview Country Club, One Safe Place will present the third annual Vanity Fair Hats, Heels, and Handbags, a gala honoring overcomers of abuse. Vanity Fair is sponsored by Shasta Regional Medical Center, Reading Bank of Commerce, Dignity Health, Enjoy Magazine, KCNR, Results Radio, REU, and Barr & Mudford. For tickets, call 530-244-0118 or go to osbshasta.org.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Hi, this is Jeff Granberry from Reading Electric Utility. REU strives to offer a variety of assistance programs to our eligible customers. Are you aware of the many programs that REU offers to help our lower-income customers? Programs such as REU's Lifeline Rate Discount Program, which helps income-qualified seniors or households with a disabled family member living in the home. Also, REU's new Lifeline Plus program for extremely low-income customers who qualify for assistance. Or the CARES program, which provides a one-time emergency financial assistance to help income-qualified REU customers. Another valuable program funded through customer donations is the REU Share program, or simply helping another receive energy. This program is designed to assist fixed-income seniors pay their energy bills. Please contact REU to see if you or a family member qualifies for any of our assistance programs. For more information, call REU at 339-7200 or visit us at reupower.com. Reading Electric Utility, REU, we're here for you.
Back, Sovereign Mind Radio. I think we dropped our guest here, and Savannah's getting him back on the phone. But I see Elizabeth or Dan, one of the two, on the chat room is asking what a bank holiday is. Well, that's what they call it when they shut down the bank and close your ability to get to your deposits. And it's happened a lot of times in the past. That's what caused, you know, they shut down banks when they have bank runs or, mm-hmm. you know, Cyprus, you know, when they do
then
bank
runs. Then there was that
balance.
Place, wasn't it in Brazil, the lady went to get her money, couldn't get her money, and then they only allowed it so much.
That was Argentina, actually. I know when you're talking about. Well, how long do the holidays last? Sometimes you never can get your money. Yeah.
Whenever they feel like maybe changing it.
Well, when the bank's insolvent, they just basically say, what they did in Argentina, they said, okay, you can get 200. She had, I guess.
Well, maybe he ran out of time. I know that he was only, had a certain amount of time. So we can,
We want to thank him if he's still listening. Thanks, Phil. I didn't realize that you were going to.
I didn't think it was going to go that quick.
Yeah, my next part of the segment was going to be solutions. But anyway, so, you know, basically what they do on a bank holiday is they just close down your ability. And like in Argentina, and they do it different ways. There's bail-ins, there's bailouts, there's freezing of the accounts. But what they did, this lady down there had $180,000 in there, and she was allowed to withdraw $200 a week. And she this went on for a year or two. You know, she couldn't get to her money, and then they devalued the currency against the dollar. So she ended up basically losing 75% of everything she had in the bank through this. And, you know, I'd go back to It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart when they shut the bank down. What were they doing? They could only pay 10 cents or 20 cents right on the dollar. That's because they're insolvent. That's why they're shutting the bank down and having a holiday in the first place, see? And so that's what we've got, is we've got a worldwide banking crisis, and they're insolvent. And people who don't want to pay attention to this are going to get hurt by it.
Right. It wasn't a banking holiday, but I believe it was in New York. We saw that one video where the bank just shut the doors and wouldn't allow the people in.
Same deal.
Yeah, but I mean.
Well, what they're going to do at some point here, because we have a worldwide banking crisis. Remember what started this whole thing in 2008 was Lehman Brothers and the banks. It wasn't, oh, gee, we just had a crisis. It's a banking crisis that's going on here because of the government overspending, because of the printing of the money. You know, all these things have effects. And the effect is that, you know, we've got a worldwide fiat currency system here. So anyway, that's the thing there. But I hope that answers your question. does Phil have a website?
Yeah. AmericanCommitment.org, I believe.
Yeah, I would just Google Phil Kerpen. It's P-H-I-L K-E-R-P-E-N, yeah, I believe. Yeah. And then you can go from there. There was also the AmericanCommitment.com, like you said, and then BookFell.com. We want to get in more information on this Steve Landry and this and try to help the election in New Jersey October 14th so that we can get some more conservative.
Yeah, there's some good information on BookerFail.com too about that stuff. I brought that up, so you can go there also. So.
Well, there you go. So, and I'm looking at a story here from Zero Hedge right now. Biggest Greek crackdown in 39 years. This kind of goes right into what we're talking about. Leadership of far-right Golden Dawn Party, the most popular party popular in Greece, is arrested. In what may be a highly destabilizing step, both politically and, wasn't the Greece thing over?
Yeah.
Yeah,
everything was getting better.
Fine.
Yeah,
life is good.
People are doing
good. Europe's coming out of it. They're in recovery. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Greece announced this morning, and this is yesterday, it's actually this morning. Announced this morning that it was in a shocking political crackdown, the biggest since the fall of the military junta in 1974. The police had arrested the leader and more than a dozen senior members of the far right Golden Party after the killing of an anti-fascist rapper by a party supporter triggered outrage, protests across the country. Reuters reported that the party's leader, Nikolai Mikhailikos, spokesman. Anyway, so the thing is that it hasn't really settled down in Greece. It's not gotten better. It's gotten worse, and their economy has tanked worse and worse and worse. And, it's gotten ugly. So, and it just amazes me that the mainstream media just, doesn't even report this stuff. The next story I have here, we got about 5 minutes or so, is the world's 10 largest companies by market cap. And this ought to tell you, this is who's running the world. Okay. Apple. Okay. Exxon. Google. Berkshire. Microsoft. GE. Johnson & Johnson. ICBC, which is, industrial and Commercial Bank of China.
Oh.
And Walmart.
Imagine that.
And Chevron. Okay, that's the 10 largest companies by market cap. And everyone knows that politicians are merely Muppets, is what the article's saying, controlled by financial and corporate interest, injected into an anachronistic legacy, and that means kind of out of chronological order for people who didn't. I had to look that up, just by the way. So representational system designed to give a person on the street some sense of nominal control over day-to-day events, while the bankers control the flow, production, and cost of money. Without some means of converting labor, someone else's, into capital their own, all the money in the world would be for nothing. And the myth that the debt, and here it is, the myth that debt is wealth would be extinguished. See, that's what everybody doesn't get. All this money that they're creating is creating more and more debt because they're borrowing it out of thin air. So the actual money is debt now instead of gold or silver that has an intrinsic value unto itself.
Right. See, there's no value there.
There's no value there, but you owe on a debt that somebody
else
created. And that's not wealth. See, the idea that we can just keep doing stuff without production, without labor, without manufacturing, without anything, and just keep doing this worldwide by this money printing machine called the Fed and this bond buying and program is going to keep, you know, is going to pull us out of this ditch.
Right, but you have the president saying that we're the most productive and we have the most manufacturing now that we've ever had. I'm not sure where he's getting that, but in this country, what do we manufacture? What do we produce?
Well, that's the problem. See, yeah. What we're doing is we're producing money. I'm sorry, we're producing fake money and creating a debt and nothing else. And we're selling our fake money, basically.
And we're paying that forward to our grandkids.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on.
See, that's the problem. You got to understand this because it's not a matter of when this thing caves in. It's a matter of which day. And I think the days are getting shorter and shorter. And when you look at the White House and the Congress, from what we just heard from Phil, this new budget is bigger than the last one.
Right.
So they're all sitting there going, oh, we got to cut costs, but nobody ever cuts costs. They, you know, watch the Obamacare in their right hand, but in the left hand, we're creating more debt.
Right. Again, distract the people with Obamacare. Why we do it again?
Why we do it again. So at some point in time, there's going to be a watershed moment here, and it's not too far away, where this whole thing just starts to implode like Greece.
Yep.
And if you're not ready, you're going to be in deep trouble here. I mean, you better get your affairs in order. So, what can you do? Get self-reliant.
Yep.
Buy precious metals.
Also get food. Yeah, have stuff that you can barter with your neighbors.
Yeah, because when it happens, and we don't know when it's going to happen, it's going to be like these bank holidays. You're going to get, you know, we're going to have a problem on Friday where all of a sudden you can't get to your bank account on the big...
Yeah, just stop and think if you got up tomorrow morning and you went to the grocery stores and you couldn't get in any of the grocery stores, what would you do?
And, you know, when you look at the bottom line of this, you know, is that anybody who has all of their retirement in one spot, has all of their money in one bank account, man, you don't get it. You're going to have a real problem if something happens. And that's what we're talking about. Everybody has this false illusion that America and American banks and American economy, it can't happen here. Well, it's happened in every other country in the world. Yep. since Greece.
And this system's always failed that we've got going right now.
Anytime you do this exact same formula where you have the government overspending and then making up for the spending by basically counterfeiting money, whether you're melting down silver coins and debasing them with zinc. Gee, didn't our coins used to be silver? I mean, back pre-64. Now you pick them up and they're...
It's like play money, like when we were kids. Monopoly money?
Yeah.
That's what it's like now.
That's a form
of... And it's probably about the same value.
That's debasement. Only now we get to do it in several different ways, with computer keystrokes, by printing, you know. Anyway, I know we've just beat this horse to death, but we're trying to get people to see it, because if you don't see it, you're going to be a victim.
And it's
going to
happen. And when it happens, it's going to be quickly. It's not going to be any real warning.
Oh yeah, they're going to give you a month or two warning. They're going to say, oh, by the way, in a month or two, there's going to be a banking crisis. It's going to confiscate all of your stuff, and it's just going to call a worldwide run on commodities. And so all the stores are going to empty out like Katrina. So you better be ready. That's what I'm sure that's exactly what J.P. Morgan or
they'll put it across the TV. In the mainstream media.
You know, Lloyd Feingold, Jamie Dimon, I'm sure they're worried about all you people out there surviving this thing, because they're not going to be parked someplace in a mansion with gated, gates and guards.
Yeah, they don't have any food storage.
Yeah, they're not going to, they're worried about us. Happen. Yeah, that would never be a problem. So with that, have we got anything else?
Well, we should let them know that next week on the program we have Mark Baird.
Oh, from the state of Jefferson?
Yes, and Lon Curry will be in the studio with us, and we'll have Mark calling in from Siskiyou County, so that will be a good show.
Very good. We the People tomorrow morning, 8 to 10. They're going to have Holly, oh, gosh, I lost her last name.
I can... All right, we're doing good with that one. I just had it, and it went away. Oh, well, we're running out of time.
Anyway, that'll be on the...
Swanson,
Holly Swanson for the trees and...
Yeah, and that'll be on Monday night, too, at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview.
Right. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Have a great week. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. The House in the middle of a rare weekend session considering its next step in a debt limit battle with the Senate.
What we've learned is that there seems to be a pathway forward to consider some sort of a bill to fund the government. What is attached to that bill, we don't know. We're hearing about one of three things. One, which would be to defund the Affordable Care Act. Another would be to kick out the medical device tax. That's a main revenue source for Obamacare to the tune of about $30 billion. Another thing is to lift the exemption for congressional members and staff.
Fox News Radio's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill. The Senate passing a bill Friday that maintains funding for the Affordable Care Act and funds the government until November 15th. It didn't happen for 34 years until yesterday. The leaders of the U.S. and Iran speaking directly with each other. President Obama and Iranian President Hassan Rouhani chatting on the phone for about 15 minutes. One subject, Iran's nuclear program.
Going forward, President Rouhani and I have directed